I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting.
Oh, have you not heard of that beautiful stream that flows through our father's land? Its waters gleam bright in the heavenly light and ripple o'er golden sand. Oh, seek that beauty. Stream, oh, see that beautiful stream, its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream.
Its fountains are deep and its waters are pure and sweet.
Oh, will you not drink of this beautiful stream and dwell on its peaceful shore? The Spirit says, come, O ye weary ones, home and wander in sin no more. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream, its waters so free are flowing for thee. Oh, seek that beautiful stream. Oh, seek that beautiful stream.
Thank you, Altar of Praise Chorale, for that beautiful song of invitation. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm grateful for the privilege of looking into God's Word with you today. You know, it's a privilege we shouldn't take for granted. Recently, we received a report from Transworld Radio sharing some excerpts from listener responses to our Nepali language radio broadcasts. Here is one of those responses. I am Tulsi Chaudhary. I am 39 years old, and I'm a new believer. We have 5 members in my family. I accidentally got HIV infected, and through that, my hope was lost. It is no way to live. But by the grace of God, I received the eternal Word of God through the Transworld Radio program. I was so blessed by your program, Asha Ko Quran. It renewed my hope to live. Now my heart continues to seek the presence of God. I am so happy. I am strengthening myself in faith of Jesus Christ. I am getting nutrients for my spiritual life through your program. We praise God for our partnership with Transworld Radio Nepal. We've visited in their offices in Kathmandu, and we've had blessed fellowship together. Through our partnership with them and with you, Tulsi is now seeking those things which are from above.
If ye then with Christ be risen, seek those things above.
Last week on The Voice of Hope, we began a message titled, Believing is Seeing, from John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 18. As we began, I stated that this portion of Scripture outlines several steps that will enable us to understand how believing is seeing. And we began by looking at the first step, gather the facts. Nicodemus wanted information about Jesus. So what did he do? He went to the source to gather the facts. He didn't ask other people. He went to see Jesus. And that's important for us to remember. Get your information from the best possible source, especially when you're asking about matters that affect your eternal destiny. And then we also noted five facts that Jesus shared with Nicodemus. Fact number one, you must be born again. Fact two, the new birth is spiritual. Fact number three, faith is necessary. Fact four, God loved the world. And fact number five is, God gave His only Son. Now, accepting these facts is very important because they lead to the next step in understanding how believing is seeing. That next step is grasp the faith. But before we get to that, let me read the scripture text, John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 18. Here is the word of God to us. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The next step, then, that will enable us to understand that believing is seeing, is grasp the faith. Let's go on. Verse 16, whoever believes. What an amazing part of this message. Whoever. I discovered in my study that this word encompasses all. No one is excluded. The mortal man who's tried to live a good life, or the murderer on death row. They can both believe and be born again. I don't understand how some people read the Bible and say that some folks are destined to be saved and others are destined to be lost. Jesus didn't say anything like that. He said, whoever believes on him will not perish. And Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No discrimination there. Now it's true, God in his omniscience knows that not all will accept the offer of salvation. But the offer is still good for all mankind. Now, we need to think together about what it means to believe. Is it enough to give a mental agreement? Is it enough for me to say with my mouth, I believe? Well, some people seem to think so, but that's not what the scriptures actually teach. The word believe means to have faith in a person or a thing. It gives the idea of credibility or credit or trust. Think of the credit application you fill out when you apply for a loan. What is it that the lender is trying to determine? He's trying to determine whether or not you are trustworthy. Will you do what you say you will do? Will you pay back the money that he is loaning to you? Can he believe in you? You can tell him you're trustworthy, but he wants proof. True belief in Jesus for salvation touches me at the core of who I am. It changes my thought patterns, my motivation for doing things, and yes, it even changes my actions. You can measure your belief and acceptance of the facts by the actions that result from your belief. For example, if I say I believe the law of gravity, but then I jump off a tall building with nothing to catch me before I hit the ground, my actions prove I don't really believe that law. You see, it's not enough to say you believe on Jesus and then go on living just as you always did. No, true belief brings a change in thought patterns or in motivations in the way we act. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's John 14:15. Now let me be very clear. Salvation is not something we earn by what we do. It's a free gift of God to all who truly believe. There's that word again. All who truly believe on him. But a belief that doesn't change the way I live is no belief at all. James puts it this way, and I'm paraphrasing, belief without action is worthless. You can say you believe all you want to, but if the belief that you're professing doesn't change the way you live, then there's no convincing proof of what you say. Profession without action is fiction. Or as James says, faith without works is dead. The ultimate proof of whether or not we really believe is evidenced by who runs our lives. Am I in control, or is Jesus in control? Jesus wanted Nicodemus to realize that being born again was a matter of the Spirit. It was not something you could achieve by your own good works. You could go into your local town and ask 50 different people if they expect to go to heaven when they die, and the majority of them would probably say yes. Then if you followed that up and you asked them how they plan to get there, you'd probably hear some variation of the idea, "My good deeds will get me there." So as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to help people understand. That's not enough. That won't cut it. Only a living belief in Jesus will rescue us from destruction and secure heaven for us. And belief opens up our understanding. Things that were beyond intellectual comprehension are now understood by God's Spirit. Now, what is the result of gathering the facts and grasping the faith? Well, they lead us to the final step. It is gain the future. Jesus said, "Whoever believes on him should not perish." The meaning of perish is to destroy fully, to utterly ruin. This is all the one who does not believe has to look forward to. Listen to the words of Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 31. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." You know, friend, that's all that awaits for the unbeliever. Anyone who rejects the offer of salvation exclusively through Jesus cannot be saved. Now, Romans chapter 2 and verses 6 through 11 provide the contrast between the believer and the unbeliever. It says, "God will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God." So, my friend, you can have glory, you can have honor, and you can have peace. You can gain the future. It's further described here. You need not perish, but you can have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Life without end in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Compare that with the verses that I read just a bit ago. There's no comparison. It's no trade. Eternal blessing or eternal torment. That choice is yours. That choice is mine. And we must choose. There's no way to avoid it. The next verses tell us that Christ didn't come into the world to condemn the world. That wasn't his mission. He came so that the world through him might be saved. But you know, that condemnation, that judgment, is coming in the future. And it's coming to all those who refuse to believe in him. Now, I know some people say, "Well, I just won't make that decision." Well, what does verse 18 say? "Whoever doesn't believe is condemned already." So there's no way around this. You and I must decide. So we've gathered the facts. Let's review them one final time. You must be born again. The new birth is not physical, it's spiritual. Faith is necessary. God loved the world, and God gave his one and only Son. And then we've outlined what it means to grasp the faith. We discussed how true faith results in action, in a changed life, how faith will enable you to see and understand things that are closed to the minds of unbelievers. And we've demonstrated how the grasp of faith will enable you to gain the future. Now you have a decision to make. Are you going to go on blindly, running your own life and take the consequences? Or are you going to believe on Jesus and see life as it was really meant to be? Because remember, believing is seeing. My friend, were you blessed by what you heard? If so, you can have a copy of the teaching you heard today, either in print or on an audio CD. The easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can also log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this program whenever it fits in your schedule. We also encourage you to visit our Facebook page. There you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging listener testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. To request an audio or printed copy of this teaching. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope, and until we meet again, rejoice in this amazing reality.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red, like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as white as snow. Hear the voice that entreats you, all return ye unto God. Hear the voice that entreats you, all return ye unto God. He is of great compassion and of wondrous love. Hear the voice that entreats you, hear the voice that entreats you, O return ye unto God, O return ye unto God. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. Look unto me, ye people, saith the Lord your God. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember.